You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, August 18th, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com as we get ready to wrap up your work week. Hopefully, you're wrapping up your work week. You don't have to work this weekend one way or the other. It is Friday, always a benchmark of the week, and wherever you're meeting us, whether you've downloaded and you're listening later, or perhaps on your lunch hour, whatever the case may be, I'm glad you're joining us. I always like to start off reminding everybody, we continue to put our Sven Longshanks support links on these shows, so we don't want to forget Sven. Be sure and try to take the time to drop him a letter, or if you want to throw some financial support his way, that's there as well. Well, I am, as you all well know, continuing Sven's tradition of trying to keep Friday lighthearted. I'm struggling on to keep Friday like lighthearted. I brought a couple of stories to the table this week, and it's just another example as we watch the collapsing end of the U.S. empire, and you see the U.S. going around, the government goes around and tells everybody around the world, you know, they preach constantly about our democracy values of who we are, and that we're somehow some kind of, this country is some kind of shining beacon on the hill, and yet the evidence is obviously quite contrary. One of these things that really stands out to me is a symptom of a failing system, of a collapsing system. And I think it's important to look at this because a lot of times I think people miss it. It's just all people see is things are bad and seem to be getting worse. But the system is collapsing. And one of those things that really, I think, highlights this is you have these very serious problems that by and large are ignored, while on the other hand, they go out of their way to amplify things that are basically non-issues and to run around and act like these are the major things. You have these major problems that get ignored, brushed off, blown off, and then you have these things that are non-issues and they run around and like it's a fire drill, and they run around and act like this is this huge deal. And when you see this pattern, when you recognize this pattern, you start seeing it, you know, more and more. It's amazing that they seem to believe that the media can just invent reality and people will buy into it. The media is constantly telling us things like inflation isn't that bad. And what inflation we have is because the people have so much money. See, you're making so much money that's driving up inflation. So it's honestly not even a bad thing. It's because everybody's flush with cash. You're not supposed to believe your lying life experience, what you experience in your everyday life, that you're more and more broke, that more and more people can't afford groceries, more and more people can't afford regular standard, you know, to maintain their standard of living. You're not supposed to notice any of that. You're just supposed to listen to them, listen to the lying media. And sadly, I think for some people, you know, that works. It gaslights them and they think, well, I'm a failure. I'm the only one that's not doing good. Everybody else must be doing fine. It must just be me. And of course, that is an absolute lie. Our first story for today comes from the Daily Mail and is titled Fight Breaks Out Inside San Bernardino Target as Four Vaguely Described Men, as opposed to women, are seen attacking one victim in a shocking video. Now, just from the title, we have four men, no other suspect description needed, attacking one victim. And it's in California to boot. So you got a four-on-one attack. I wonder what the possible racial demographics of this could be. And again, this is a case where the media acts like if they don't mention it. I mean, and it's so absurd because in all of these stories, whether it's in the Daily Mail or on your local news, they do this. They'll sit there and say, oh, this suspect. And they won't give you any description of the suspect, but usually there'll be like a surveillance video or something, and you're never surprised. And it's like, why won't they just go on? Go on and give us a suspect description. We have all these smash and grab robberies that you're seeing in California. And anytime you hear of a 4-on-1 attack, most of the time, like as in 99.999% of the time, you can guess the racial demographics of those involved. Video taken inside a Southern California Target store shows the moment a violent brawl involving nearly half a dozen men broke out. It just broke out while families were shopping. The incident happened inside a Redlands Target when four men were seen going after another man, kicking and punching him repeatedly. They start swinging towards the Latino guy, said Laura Sanchez, a witness to the shocking fight. It was like four against one. Well, seeing four against one in these situations, when you add in the racial demographics, it isn't exactly really shocking. Now, you may say, well, why does this matter? You know, what difference does it make if they were to point out the racial demographics involved here? Because they're selling people this notion that, like, you can go in these places and you should just be blind. It is another one of those contradictions. They tell people, they say, oh, be aware of your surroundings. You know, you'll hear them say whenever there's a crime story on your local news or something that, you know, experts say, police say to be aware of your surroundings. Okay, well, part of being aware of your surroundings would be to understand. Like, if you see a group of four Chinese guys standing around, you really don't probably need to put yourself on high alert. But if you see a group of four men, you probably, you know, especially like they're not old men. If you see four young, quote unquote, men, yeah, you probably better, you better be more aware of your surroundings. But you see, they don't tell people that. They tell people, on the one hand, be aware of your surroundings, but then they refuse to ever mention, you know, especially if you see a group of young black guys around you, you know, it may or may not spell trouble. You better just kind of, you know, be on your guard and maybe, you know, just inconspicuously exit the area. You might wish to get away from there. Sanchez claims one of the people involved in the fight was a young child who was calling out that he was 13 years old as the attack happened. It's unclear what prompted the altercation inside the store. Yes, the old mysterious, we have no idea what the motive is. We have to do the we have no idea. Well, you know, probably something was said to the one person involved here who was attacked, who is not black, and he said something back, and this went through the filter as, you dumb be disrespect me. So, you know, then it just escalated immediately to violence. The woman told KTLA she walked into the store located on West Lugonia Avenue around 8:15 p.m. and was going to the bathroom when the fight began. We just heard noises in the background, and out of nowhere, they just come up and started fighting, Sanchez said. We're like, what happened? The video shows one man standing alone as four others, purportedly part of a different group. No, there was nobody. The only group here was them. Different group. This guy was by himself. What do you mean a different group? Or are we talking racial groups? Are we saying that the store was predominantly Latino versus blacks? And so the guy just being Latino was part of a different group? They don't tell us clearly in the story what they mean, a different group, because everything in the story says this guy was by himself and he was attacked by these four men. Anyway, purportedly part of a different group, throw and punch at him. A Target employee is seen urging customers to back. Stand back. Don't just everybody get back. Get back and let them fight. A Target employee seen urging customers to back away from the brawl. Other customers watch in terror as the violence continues. At one point, the victim, whose identity is unknown, falls to the ground in front of the attackers who continue to punch and stomp on him. Let me tell you something. You know, you see this time and time again. One thing you don't ever want to do if you're in the unfortunate situation is to get attacked by a group of men. Don't go down to the ground. I mean, no matter what you got to do, don't get down on the ground. Because, like, you would think that, because you see some people, and this guy's fighting back, but I've seen multiple videos where people are attacked by a group of men, and they'll go to the ground, and you could tell that they think that if they just cover up and they're not fighting back, these guys will go, oh, well, he's down. We'll leave him alone. And that's never what you see. Once they see it, like, it's like, now we can get him. It's the same reason they attack 4, 5, 6 or more against one person. They're not exactly worried about a fair fight here. If you go down on the ground, that just throws fuel on the fire. And you're going to get the whole kicking and stomping thing. I just heard one of the teenage boys saying, I'm 13, you can't put your hands on me, Sanchez said of the brutal attack. You see, you got a 13-year-old partaking in hitting you. He's like, I'm 13, you can't touch me. What does he mean, you can't touch me? Because the law will come after you. We've seen this this institutionalized encouragement of this behavior. Now, I have pointed this out time and again. This encouragement that now, especially you've seen this experiment carried out in California to more great length, where they essentially aren't arresting black people for anything. They can go in these stores and take $900 worth of stuff and they won't be arrested. And that is government policy. They have enabled and encouraged this violent behavior in the black community. And I have pointed this out time and time again. The majority of the time, the people who suffer the most for this are people who live in the black community. And you got to point this out, because they'll say they put these policies in place because of racism and it somehow helps black people. And you have black people living in these communities, they're essentially living in a war zone. So that is a lie. And yet it is government policy. They're enabling and encouraging theft, violent behavior, and it's just, we're seeing it spiraling out of control. It's getting worse and worse. Now people can't go shopping at Target, because if you go shopping in Target, you could run into a group of men, and then who knows what's going to happen. And these criminals know this. You got this 13-year-old going, you better not lay your hands on me, you'll be in trouble. With who? With the cops. So you have the criminals are wailing. You got one of the criminals here waving around the threat of the police and the government will come after you if you touch me. They know this is basically institutionalized policy. And of course, they're taking advantage of it. Police were called to the scene, and I'm sure they did a lot of good. Police were called to the scene to investigate where they found the alleged victim. The man was not interested in speaking with police, and charges were not filed. Well, I wonder why the guy was not interested in talking to the police. Well, because he knows that they're not going to do anything. Why bother? You've got corporate store policies now in much of the U.S. where it is store policy. You're not even allowed, when these people come in and start robbing the store, basically, they just take stuff off the shelf. You're not even allowed to call the police on them, because that could be racist. And this is totally sustainable. This is going, we're just going to keep on going like this, like indefinitely. Like, this is supposed to be a serious country. A lot of this relies on the overwhelming amount of ignorance in the American people. The American people, you got so much of the American people, and they still think that the U.S. is the best country on the face of the earth. Why? Because they have no idea. They have no idea how other people in other parts of the world live. If you were attacked like this in some country in Africa, and you called the police, who are probably going to be an extension of the military, you've got a higher likelihood that they're going to go trace down these guys and mete out justice on them than you do in America. You got American people and they look down and talk about these third world shithole countries that like look down their nose and, well, at least we're not insert country here. You know, at least we're not one of these backwards countries. Of course, they keep having to go down further and further on the list. Even they're starting to blush at the idea of like trying to look down their nose on a country like China, like we're in a better position than them. So they're going further and further down the list. And they'll say, well, at least we're not Somalia. Or are we? Would you read a story like this? It's like, this country is degraded, and yet people still try to act like the U.S. isn't basically some third world backwater country. It's just big. It's just a big third world country. No, seriously, what do we have? We just have rampant crime in the street. The legal system now is a complete joke. I saw a story talking about this whole Trump fiasco, and they're like, oh, Trump's allegations that the Justice Department could be crooked and politically motivatedly persecuting him, you know, threatens our democracy and threatens people's faith in the justice system. Nobody with any two brain cells to rub together has any faith in the justice system. I did the story recently on the guy out in Utah that the FBI went in and executed, and that story lost legs in less than a day. You know, lost because the whole story relied on statements from the media and the FBI, and nobody believes him. You know, so the story didn't even get any legs. The notion that anyone has any faith in the justice system in the U.S., I mean, that's just laughable. I mean, I don't know. And you could say, you know, previously people would say Americans are ignorant of how other countries function or how the people there live because they don't travel. But here's the thing. You don't even need to travel anymore. We've got the internet. You can go, and people who live in these countries make videos. And what do people do? So many people in this country will instead watch videos that are basically propaganda against the countries. Oh, it's so bad there. You watch this video. Oh, and it's just somebody reinforcing the view that you want to have. Instead of maybe somebody that lives there and makes videos about the place, and you get a fresh look and say, wow, look, their infrastructure isn't crumbling. Oh, wow, look, it's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and families are out walking around at night in the city, and nobody's worried about being attacked. People in this country don't even realize you can go to another country. You can go to a place like Dubai, and you can walk down the street, and you don't have to worry that a group of men are going to come out and just decide to attack you and beat you down in front of your family. You can go ride the subway in a country like China, and you don't have to worry that you're going to be accosted and your family attacked. And it's clean, and there's not graffiti on everywhere, and there's not homeless people everywhere, on the streets, on the sidewalks. Residents who spoke with KTLA said incidents like this are becoming increasingly common in their area. And why? Why? Because government policy. This is a result of government policy. Government has legalized criminal activity. The justice system is a joke now. Everybody knows. When you legalize and say you can go in and steal up to this dollar amount and no charges, no arrests are going to happen, you are legal. You can do it. Are we supposed to be shocked now that we have more criminal behavior? But that's exactly what they're trying to say. Like, it's a mystery. The whole story's written like, it's a mystery. We don't know why this could be happening. In early August, another fight broke outside of Ross nearby, shocked customers. It does make you stop and think for a minute, said Michaela Simple, a local. It's very sad. No, it's not sad. This is just an obvious thing that's going to happen. When you have government policy that legalizes criminal activity, why are you shocked? Why are you sad? It's actually outrageous. But there's no sign that they have any idea turning it down. And the government just doesn't care. They don't even care that this is what our country looks like. Sad. And I just pray that everyone can stay safe. Well, that's going to help. You know, that's going to help. Just praying that everybody's going to stay safe. Simple said, I do love this community, though. I really do. What do you love about it? This is like this thing that irks me when you have these people talking about God bless America. For what? What would God bless America for? List the things where people say, I love America. Let me tell you, let me put my hand on my heart and get my little made in China U.S. flag on a stick and wave it around. And let me tell you, I love America. I always want to press these people and say, tell me exactly. I want specifics. What do you love about America? Well, we got freedom here. No. Don't tell me any. Don't give me some vague. Don't give me some vagary. Don't give me some vague notion like we have freedom. Tell me specific things that you love about America. Because outside of, you know, like, I don't know, the freedom to do what kind of, you know, gay stuff. I mean, okay, if that's your thing, if you're going to say, well, I love America. I love America because I can have all the gay anal I want. And the government has even given me my own flag. I'll accept that. I may not agree with it, but I'll accept because at least you've given me something specific. But when you have these normal conservative people and they're like waving their little flag and they're talking about, I love America, I want specifics. What do you love? Do you love not being able to go to the store with your family? Do you love that malls are now officially nationwide a no-go zone because there's going to be groups of teens there? What do you love? Do you love the fact that shoplifters now don't get prosecuted, especially if they're black? Tell me what you love. Do you love that black areas are now war zones because of government policy, and heaven help the people who live there, who are in the middle of the war zone, who, by the way, the government will say they enacted these policies, turning their communities into a war zone for their own good, to help them out. As if black people living in a war zone somehow want to live in a war zone. Nobody benefits from this, and it's just this breaking down of order. The government not only cannot, they have no interest. Have no interest in addressing real problems. Look, if you go downtown in any city in the U.S. and people are living in tents, shooting up drugs, shitting on the sidewalk, you're not in a serious country. You're not in a country that's dealing with basic problems. You have a government. You have a government for a reason. And one of the reasons is they're supposed to handle a certain level of order. And we're seeing that inability to do so. It's breaking down. They can't let you, when you can't take your family and go buy something at Target without worried about getting getting attacked by a group of quote unquote men, then government is not doing its job. And why do we have them? I mean, seriously, what are we getting out of this deal? We pay all these taxes. We put up with these ridiculous laws that are getting more and more out there. How about they repeal all this crap? You know, these laws that are like designed to micromanage how the hell you live your life and what kind of car you drive. Or as we talked about recently, what kind of freaking light bulb you can have. The government is telling you what kind of light bulb you can screw into your lamp by your bed. But you can't go to Target and buy the damn light bulbs without being attacked by a group of men who probably showed up there just to steal stuff because the government has no interest in arresting them and has made it policy that they will not arrest them. How is this functioning? How is this a functioning government? Why do we have them? What are we getting out of this deal? We'd be better off. People would be safer. I'm kicking around this idea. I don't want to stay, as a matter of fact, because it's something I just kicking around in my head. But honestly, I think people would be safer if they did abolish the police and the government just said, you know what, we're not going to prosecute anybody for anything. Y'all just on your own. Because then at least people would just defend themselves. Like, you go to Target, people just throw down, just start gunning, just having a shootout there. You would have a better look, because otherwise you're like, this guy, why bother talking to the police? They aren't going to do anything anyway. This guy knows they're going to do anything. You've been better off just start having a Wild West shootout. How would that be any more lawless than this? Police are telling residents not to intervene in any altercation and call the cops immediately if they see a fight break out. Because, you know, that's going to do so much good. You can call the police. That's going to help. They can't do anything. They won't do anything. They're unwilling, unable to do basic jobs. If you just throw a dart at any random country on the face of the earth, more than likely, you could probably reasonably go to a store in the middle of the day without worrying about this sort of thing happening. Wherever the dart lands, you're probably going to have a better, safer time. If you're in some random country in the Middle East and you go shopping with your family in the middle of the day, more than likely you're going to be fine and you're not going to get attacked by a quote unquote group of men. It's a complete breakdown of order. While on the other hand, they try to tell you what kind of light bulbs you can have, what kind of cars you can drive, what kind of fuel you could buy for your car, what you could do. And on the other hand, we have stories like our next one, which comes from RT. You see, while you can't go to the mall, there are no-go zones because they're just filled with teens roaming about. Teens. While you can't go to Target without somebody trying to bash your head in and pick a fight with you, what is the government doing? The story's titled U.S. Library of Congress Apologizes for Calling Woman She. This... Let this sink in. You can't go to town. You got to be on your guard. Don't be relaxing. You got to be on your guard. You go to town. You go to Target. If you see a group of young teens, in other words, black people walking around, you better be on guard. If you live in a black area in a U.S. city, congratulations. Good luck living in a war zone. You're like living on the front lines in Ukraine. Like you, the poor people living in the Donbass probably aren't living in as much of a war zone as you are, while the government feeds you empty platitudes about how they're helping you out. But what are they worried about? They're worried about they're apologizing for calling a woman she. The publicly funded institution hosted non-binary author Casey McQuiston for a book signing. The U.S. Library of Congress, the largest library on earth, issued a public apology via Twitter, now branded X, on Monday for using incorrect pronouns to describe a non-binary author hosting a book signing at the taxpayer-funded institution. How many people even bought this freak's book? You see this too. You have these institutions like the Library of Congress that were founded years ago by capable people with intellect who said, we need a big library to preserve history and to preserve, you know, keep a running record of what's going on in a literary written record for generations to come. And now what? They bring this person here and now, oh, we used the wrong gender pronoun. Well, yes, they are, I guess, continuing a record of the degeneration of the downfall of the U.S. We deeply apologize to Casey McQuiston for using incorrect pronouns for them. As if there's two of them. How many of people are they? I hate it when they use these plural things, you know, them, for them. In our last post, the oldest federal cultural establishment in the U.S. tweeted, there's a question, this is random, it has nothing to do with the story. Elon Musk renamed Twitter X for some reason. But yet, people still call them tweets. How did that, shouldn't they be called X'd? You know, they X'ed. They, why are they, if it's no longer Twitter and it's X, why are they still called tweets? Why are we still saying they tweeted? You can't be tweeted on something that named your Twitter. It's an X'er. So it should be an X. They X'd on X instead of, I'm sorry. I'm getting way off. The offending post was apparently deleted as it did not appear in the library's Twitter feed. It would be an X feed. On Tuesday, the Library of Congress hosted a book signing for McQuiston. I bet a whole bunch of people showed up for that one too. Who self-identifies as queer as well as non-binary. On Tuesday, to celebrate the Amazon Prime adaptation of the author's book Red, White, and Royal Blue, and formally added the novel to its LGBTQ+P collection. I added the P, but we all know. Collection. The book tells the story of a feud between a British prince and the son of the U.S. president that blossoms into a homosexual romance. So this got a, of course it got a Netflix adaptation. Of course it did. Of course, this person is doing a book signing at the U.S. Library of Congress for a literary work that is on par with a BL manga from Japan. just be a average BL manga in Japan, but they doing a book signing at the U.S. Library of Congress. Oh, one piece of good news. You know me. I'm all about the good news. On the bright side, you know, with this novel, you know, getting made into a Netflix series, the good news is white people are going to be in it. You know, it's going to be like the one Netflix series where they're not going to make everybody involved black. See, white guys, you get to be, the good news is, white guys, you're going to get to be represented for a change in a Netflix series. The bad news is that you're going to, it's going to be involved doing the gay. Followers of the storied cultural institution on Twitter recoiled from its embrace of grammatical incorrectness in service to political correctness, describing the post as, quote, embarrassing for the U.S., for librarians, and for literacy in general. I don't know if it's even possible anymore for this country to be any more of an embarrassment, or its institutions any more of an embarrassment. I mean, you know, this is just like adding the frosting on top of the cake. They invited this person and they're acting like this is a serious thing to begin with. Even professional anti-wokesters. Like libs of TikTok appeared to be at a loss for words. The account merely called the library's tweet beyond parody, while several others questioned whether the Library of Congress did not have more pressing matters to attend to. Last September, the library's decision to allow proudly obese pop star Lizzo to play a 200-year-old crystal flute that had belonged to Founding Father and 4th U.S. President James Madison during her Washington, D.C. concert similarly polarized onlookers. The singer, a classically trained flutist, boasted in a tweet after the show that she was, quote, the first and only person to ever play this presidential 200-year-old crystal flute, alongside a video of her trilling on the instrument while twerking in a bedazzled gold leotard. If this isn't America today, I that is just very appropriate, because we are the movie Idiocracy. So yes, we are the movie Idiocracy. We are living Idiocracy. Yes, that is the U.S. today. Despite its legendary status, it holds more than 175 million works in over 470 languages. The Library of Congress has recently come under pressure to follow the example of the Biden administration in emphasizing diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, let's point out a little something here. The library already holds 175 million works in over 470 languages. Did you know there were over 470 languages? Because I didn't. That sounds pretty diverse, doesn't it? I mean, you've got 175 million works in over 470 languages. But you see, this ridiculousness that they're doing, this is emphasizing diversity, equity, and inclusion. No, it's celebrating the degeneration of a society. This is what the complete end-stage breakdown of morality looks like, of the social mores that hold people together. This is what this looks like. It's Idiocracy, the movie on steroids. This is what it looks like. You already had diversity. You got that many works and that many languages. And what are we down to? We're celebrating a BL manga and having this obese black woman toot around on a crystal flute, which nobody else would even be allowed to touch because I'm sure it's very fragile. I what do I add to that, folks? I don't know. You just look, at the end of the day, I've said it before too. I know I'm not as lighthearted on Fridays without Sven. It's so much easier. He does a better job of keeping things on the light track. But at the end of the day, you do just have to laugh at it. You know, I mean, there's several ways you can react to these things. And, you know, getting angry isn't really going to fix. It isn't going to make a difference anyway. You just laugh at it. Just laugh at how absurd it is. Laugh at how these people will stand up here and make these broad pronouncements and act like you're supposed to take them seriously. Remember, the people running the government, they want you to act like they're serious people. You're supposed to go along with that charade. It's like wearing a mask and pretending it's going to stop the virus. It's all a charade. They want you to pretend. These people stand up here and make these grand pronouncements. And all they're doing is, with the Library of Congress, they've inherited these majestic institutions, these once grand institutions. But you have these idiots that run it now. You have these low IQ morons that are running it now. And they want you to act like they're serious people. Just laugh at them. You know, the Library of Congress as an institution is a grand institution. But the people running it now are retards. They're idiots. And I don't say that as an insult to literally retarded people. They can't help themselves. They're doing the best they can. I'm talking about people who just are they're mentally broken. There's something wrong with it. They're genetic rejects. You know, they want you to take them seriously. The best thing, the most healthy thing you can do for yourself, because at the end of the day, you only have control over yourself, is just laugh at all of it. Laugh in their face. Laugh in their face that they act like because they've inherited an institution like the Library of Congress means they're just as important as the people who built it. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're ignoramuses who are running around basically crapping all over something that used to be a really nice thing. You just got to laugh at people. Trust me. It's the healthiest way to approach it. We're going to wrap up. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, I hope you'll come back and join me. I'll be back. I plan to be back on Monday for the next installment of the Daily Nationalist. So, yeah, as always, look, keep the faith. Try to laugh at all of it. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.